Listen, you excited for the word? You ready for the word this morning? And again, I have lots of things that are stirring in my heart, and sometimes it's I probably do have a bit of ADD, and always have, probably ADHD, and so sometimes it can be difficult for me to focus and fine tune on and pinpoint it exactly what I feel like the Lord is emphasizing. Shelley hit on something this morning before we go any further. You know, it's common many times, I don't know when it started, but it became common to start the new year with a word. You're familiar with that, and maybe you've done that. And I'm not saying you're more spiritual if you do and you're not spiritual if you don't. I'm not saying that at all. If it's a tool that helps you and in your walk with the Lord and you know, works for you, great. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. I really believe when Shelley hit on this just a little while ago, I really believe it was prophetic in nature. This was a tough year, and we have many in our church that suffered loss and loss of loved ones, loss of jobs and financial security and careers. Not just a job, but a career. And have just struggled financially. We have people who have they've lost their health, the level of vitality that they had. It's waned, and they're still hoping to recover. We have a number of people in our church that it. 2019, it's been brutal, and if your year's been great, then that is awesome. Please know, sharing that for a pity party, and neither would anyone that struggled want that either. Thank God, it's been a good year. If it's been a good year for you, we rejoice. I've had good years and end strong, and just thank God for that. And I've had years like 2019 that it's been tough. And you know what? Thank God, 2020, we're looking forward to what God has in store. Amen? We have people in our church, they've lost relationships, long-standing relationships. They ended. Someone walked out. So as a pastor, and some of you I know more closely than others, but, you know, I'm aware. And one of the reasons Shelley and I pastors, we love and care for hurting people. We want to help people experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give them. Amen. But we also know as we do that this is earth. It's not heaven. Amen. It's not heaven yet. And so we deal with a fallen world, which is full of, broken people, and things happen and marriages end that you don't plan on. And kids die. When parents are supposed to outlive their kids, kids die. Accidents happen. It's the world we live in. And when Shelley said that and gave that illustration, that story of Jesus, told the disciples to get to the other side, and he was asleep on a pillow when the storm and the wind and the waves was crashing down on the boat. And you got to realize that the disciples, many of them were fishermen, so they were used to storms. They were used to water and wind in their face, right? These weren't Pee Wee Herman men. These were John Wayne. These were Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? These were fishermen. You ever watch that, what's the fishing show? You ever seen those guys? Right? And you hear how they talk too, right? Beep, 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 beep. Right? Remember Peter cussed off the little girl? I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. What are you talking about? Right? Peter denied the Lord and cussed at the end, right? Disciples weren't antiseptic. They were just like us. They were just like us. They were real people. And Yeah, so deadliest catch. You look at that and you see those. So these were real men. These were disciples. These weren't, you know, people, not that people in the three-piece suit are girly. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that these men were used to the elements, right? They didn't have desk jobs. They were fishermen. And it was rough and it was wild and it was hard. And so they are scared for their lives. So if Arnold Schwarzenegger is, if the Terminator is scared, we're in trouble. If Pee-wee Herman is scared, who cares? You're scared of any, you know what? Someone blew and you got scared. So we're not really, we don't even take that into account. But if the Terminator, right? If he gets fearful, right? We're like, oh my God, right? It's kind of like if the hero of the school gets beat up, uh-oh. You know, when our hero is down, what do we do? If Superman dies, what do we do? Right? So they're scared. And so it lets you know how severe this storm was. And Shelley hit the nail on the head. 2019, that is a picture. That is a picture of the turmoil that many in our church have gone through with their kids, in their marriage, in their relationship, in their finances. That's the way it's been, in their health. That's what they've experienced. And when Shelley was sharing that, I just really believe the Lord emphasized that and dropped it, that 2020, it will be a year of peace. And I want to encourage you to hang on to that. Amen? That it will be a year of peace. Now, I want to explain what I mean by that. And I love this. Shelley shared this so powerfully during our women's Christmas message. It's probably one of the shortest messages she ever shared because she ran out of time, but it was so powerful. And she gave a definition of what peace means. That, remember Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we've heard things like peace means nothing missing and nothing broken. And she shared how in this specific situation, it didn't mean that. Because how many know we live on earth, not heaven yet? Huh? And even with the disciples, even before Jesus said, peace be still, he was totally at peace. So much so, the Bible says he was asleep on the pillow in the middle of the storm. He was, I love that. It's one of my favorite verses. And whenever I feel stressed out, the verse I think of, I don't think of cast all your care on him because he thinks cares for you. That's a great verse. But the verse that comes to mind when I'm in the middle of chaos is, and Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. How could he be asleep on the pillow? I'll tell you why. Because you remember Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say, right? And so before they ever got into the boat, Jesus told them, he was in a time of prayer, and he said, hey, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. So if Jesus said we're going to the other side, that means that's what he saw the Father do or that's what he heard the Father say. So to Jesus, the storm was inconsequential. Doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. If the boat goes down, the Father will turn it into a submarine. We'll get there. He was not worried. He was asleep on a pillow because God's promises produce peace. And he had a promise. He had a word. He had a rhema word from the Father. Amen. And you know what? And then he spoke up and he said, peace, be still. And so I just want to encourage you in 2020 that let the word peace be in your mouth. Amen. Let the word peace be in your mouth. Let it get in your heart and be in your mouth in the midst of the storm. Because listen, peace doesn't mean that we're not tasting salt water. It doesn't mean my hair is not messed up from all the wind. What it means is in the midst of the storm, I can be asleep on a pillow. Amen? I can be asleep on the pillow. The storm can be raging on the outside, but I don't have to allow it on the inside. Amen. So I don't want to create this Pollyanna, oh, Pastor Saad taught, he's a false prophet. You know, he said 2020 is going to be peaceful. Man, week one, all hell broke loose. Well, I'm sure the disciples thought the same thing. Hey, didn't Jesus say, get in the boat, we're going to the other side? He did that, like in the literal Greek, did that mean we're going to sink to the bottom? Right? I'm sure they're afraid for their life. They are fearful. And the thing about fear, there's probably no greater enemy of peace than fear. Amen? And I believe that's why the word says that perfect love casts out all fear. We have to be rooted and grounded in the reality and the greatness and the vastness of our Father's love for us, because that love casts out all fear and enables us to rest in peace. Amen? Fear robs our peace. Fear, fear is thinking of all the bad that can and probably will happen, right? I'm not talking about ignoring reality. I'm not. I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand. And you know, the ship's going down, but you know, I'm ignoring it. No. What I am talking about is that even in the midst of the wind and the waves, you can have peace. And so I encourage you, for your family, for your home, that put that word in your mouth. Get that word in your heart. Amen. And that can look like different things to us individually. It could look different. For you, it could be your health is restored. That could be peace for you. It could be that your finances are stabilized and you finally have more money at the end of the month. For you, that can mean that, you know what, your kids are starting to come around. Amen. It can mean different things, but I want you to hang on to that. Amen. I believe that's God's word. I believe Shelley nailed that, and I'm hope that confirms with your heart too, that peace. Amen. No wonder Paul, most of his letters, he said, grace and peace to you who are in Christ Jesus. It's like he constantly reminded them of grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Amen? Amen. Well, did you have a Merry Christmas? Did you? Did you get something new? Huh? I'd have to be fancy, right? I mean, it could be the littlest thing. I got a new pair of pajamas. Kind of look like Shelly's shirt. Yeah. And in fact, they're matching pajamas. We didn't take a picture and put it on Facebook because, you know, we don't look as good as all those Facebook pictures. You ever see all those families? Man, they're matching pajamas. And I'm like, how do they look so good? You know, so I'm like, nah, maybe if I was 30, but not 50. Anyway, yeah, it is. But maybe if I was 25 and had the body of a 25-year-old. Anyway, so we didn't take a picture. But yeah, but new things are nice, right? Huh? They're just not. You know, I love it. Shelly always laughs, and then if I don't say anything, she's like, she gives me the look. But I love it when I go to bed, and Shelly has put fresh sheets. They don't have to be new, but they were just, she got them out of the closet, the ones we were on. They're going into the wash. You could just tell. Number one, there's no Dorito crumbs. Yeah, come on, talk to me. So I know you're not supposed to eat in bed, but come on. Sometimes I just don't want to go to the table and eat pretzels. I'm eating them in bed, right? You can just put them over on Shelly's side. And I do that. And she's like pushing them back, right? In grains of salt. You're like, ow, why's my elbow hurt? Oh, it's salt from the pretzels. Right? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Please tell me I'm not alone. Y'all are like TMI. Anyway, so I love it when the old comes off and the new, and you get in, and for some whatever reason, they're colder, right? And they're like, ah, right? They're crisper, right? You just get in, and it's like, I'm going to sleep good tonight, right? Come on, anyone relate? And so usually without fail, I tell Shelly, I'm like, oh, I'm like a kid at Christmas. Oh, you changed the sheets. Oh, feels so good. Little things, I know. And if I ever forget, then Shelly's like, gives me the look, and I'm like, I noticed. I just didn't say anything, but I noticed, right? We like new things, don't we? I was reminded of Isaiah 43 talks about how God says, hey, I'm going to do a new thing. Amen? And I do believe that 2020, that we will walk in new levels of peace, not only individually, but collectively as a church body. Amen? That we will walk in new levels of God's peace that he has provided for us. And so I want to talk to you about new things. You know, we think about New Year resolutions. We think about, even if you don't write New Year resolutions, you know what? There's pros and cons for on both sides. There's successful people that do you New Year resolutions or set annual goals. There are successful people who go, who cares, and don't do it. Right? That's not the point. Whatever works for you. But there is something about a new week, a new day even, a new day, a new week, a new month, not to mention a new year, a new decade, where maybe we begin to think a little differently, that, you know, maybe we begin to think, hey, okay, in a decade, I'll be a decade older, so I'll no longer be in my 50s. Dear Lord, I'll be in my 60s. I'll just be halfway there. Huh? Yeah, 35, that wasn't top of the hill. No, I got 10 years to go before it's my top of the hill. Okay? So 120, that's my goal. We'll see. If I behave, Shelly may let me make it. Yeah, probably not. Anyway, so we tend to think different and maybe long term, and we think about the new year and what went well in 2019, what can I check off the bucket list, what is still stirring, what is right. So I want to talk to you about Made New. And before we do, we like new things. How many of you have the new Apple phone with the three cool cameras? No shame if you do. Will you lift your hand? My daughter. That's a big surprise. She's on some plan. You get the new one whenever it comes out. Anyone else? Yeah, I still have an 8 plus. I guess I'm three behind, you know. I don't have the newest iPad, but this was the newest that I think last year or the year before, maybe two behind. It's at least one behind. But I do like new because, you know, this iPad, and I have one of the older ones, but when they went to the Retina, y'all remember when they went to the Retina on your phone? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, it made a difference, right? And you didn't notice the difference until you had the new. It's kind of like you don't really notice the sheets. I mean, it's okay. You're in a bed. You're glad you're sleeping on a bed. But once the new sheets are down, you're like, I notice, right? Kind of like the Retina screen. And so I love this new iPad because the phones had the Retina screen, which was just clearer, crisper, different kind of technology. I don't know all that. Smarter people figure that out. I just benefit from it. But you could tell, and especially if you got 50-year-old eyes, anything that makes it crisper, you appreciate. And so I'm appreciating. But it took them a while to transfer that to the iPad for whatever dumb reason. Maybe bigger screen, I don't know, but it took them a while. But eventually it got to now all the newer iPads. And so I wanted the iPad with the Retina because it made a big difference on my phone. So I like new and improved. Are you with me? Not always. Get the bugs worked out. But come on. There's something about new and improved. And we begin to think maybe that with New Year resolutions and planning for the new year, that's usually what that's all about, is how can I life be better? How can I be a better husband, a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, a better church member, a better pastor, better on my job, a better employer, a better employee, whatever, right? We want to improve, right? Didn't we plan for that last year? I did. And I love it. I saw a great post on Facebook. Quit blaming the holidays. You were fat in August. That's what it said. And I'm like, true story. Right? I love that. Oh, these holiday pounds. Oh, you may have added a few, but you really don't look much different at all than you did 2 months ago before Thanksgiving. Huh? What are we going to do? Blame Labor Day? It was Veterans Day. No, it was that was in November. It's Halloween, all the candy. Yeah. So some of us, if you're like me, for the last couple of years, maybe, you know, get in better shape and lose the weight. It's amazing how that ends up at the top of the list every year. Or other issues that maybe you struggle with, habits you long to break. Why is that? Why is that? And we come to church and we got 50 million Bible translations in the palm of our hand, right? Do you remember? I remember when it was a big deal. One time I had this Bible, Shelley got it for me. It was 16 translations, but it was before the Bible app. So if you were going to read it, you went, right? And there was four at the top of one page, four on the bottom, and then the same on the other. So there was eight on each page, four, 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 and four. And so together you could look at a verse and see it in 16 different translations. Anyhow, it was about this big. Yeah. So I could see it back then. Okay. Now, man, we just bring it up. This translation, change, look at it, change, look at another one, right? And yet it doesn't seem like change is much easier, does it? Isn't that amazing? They've had all this access. And when you think about health, you know, they say that. You know, we have more information, really, about health than we've ever had, right? It's almost information overload, but we all know. We don't need the, but let me just say right now, whatever money you were going to spend on the book to get in shape, I'm asking you to please consider giving that money to CFC. Because we all already know, burn more than you take in. All right? That's it. How do you burn more? You exercise. How do you burn more than you take in? Eat less. We all know, right? We just are going to repackage it and call it keto. We're going to repackage it and call it Atkins. We're going to repackage it and call it, but at the end of the day, burn more than you take in. That's it. It doesn't get any harder than that, right? It doesn't get any harder in declaring the truth. But so the hard thing isn't what we know, it's in what we do. I know. But I want that pie. So I want to, this video, I saw this video. Is a star in the way? It's not now. Sorry. Huh? I know, but it was in my way. I want you to see this video. It's 5, 6, 7 minutes, somewhere around there. And I want to use it as the introduction. And I'm just kind of introducing the series that we'll launch full into next week. But I want you to see this. This guy's, he's going to talk about riding a backwards bicycle. Okay? And I think it'll help you maybe grasp in why is it so hard for us to change? Why is it so hard for us? We know what we want to be different, but why is it so hard to implement that? And maybe you'll be a little more gracious to yourself and allow yourself to be more dependent on Jesus. Amen. Here we go.
The smarter every day. You've heard people say it's just like riding a bike, meaning it's really easy and you can't forget how to do it, right? But I did something. I did something that damaged my mind. It happened on the streets of Amsterdam, and I got really scared, honestly. I can't ride a bike like you can anymore. Before I show you the video of what happened, I need to tell you the backstory. Like many six-year-olds with a MacGyver mullet, I learned how to ride a bike when I was really young. I had learned a life skill and I was really proud of it. Everything changed though when my friend Barney called me 25 years later. Where I work, the welders are geniuses and they like to play jokes on the engineers. He had a challenge for me. He had built a special bicycle and he wanted me to try to ride it. He had only changed one thing. When you turn the handlebar to the left, the wheel goes to the right. When you turn it to the right, the wheel goes to the left. I thought this would be easy, so I hopped on the bike, ready to demonstrate how quickly I could conquer this.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Destin Sandlin. First attempt riding the bicycle.
All right. So, the faster I go, the better.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. You can see that I'm laughing, but I'm actually really frustrated. In this moment, I had a really deep revelation. My thinking was in a rut. This bike revealed a very deep truth to me. I had the knowledge of how to operate the bike, but I did not have the understanding. Therefore, knowledge is not understanding. Look, I know what you're probably thinking. Destin's probably just an uncoordinated engineer and can't do it. But that's not the case at all. The algorithm that's associated with riding a bike in your brain is just that complicated. Think about it. Downwards force on the pedals, leaning your whole body, pulling and pushing the handlebars, gyroscopic precession in the wheels, every single force is part of this algorithm. And if you change any one part, it affects the entire control system. I do not make definitive statements that often, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot ride this bicycle. You might think you can, but you can't. I know this because I'm often asked to speak at universities and conferences and I take the bike with me. It's always the same. People think they're gonna try some trick or they're just gonna power through it. It doesn't work. Your brain cannot handle this. For instance, this guy. I offered him $200 just to ride this bike 10 feet across the stage. Everybody thought he could do it.
No, you didn't understand. So, this way. All right, whenever you're ready.
Quickly!
No, you have to keep your feet on. Alright, here we go.
Wait, you gotta start rolling at least.
And go!
Oh, God!
Alright, back up. Okay, well. Keep your feet on the pedal. Go.
Go right off.
Just keep your feet on the pedals.
Tails on.
Yeah, come on.
Once you have a rigid way of thinking in your head, sometimes you cannot change that, even if you want to. So here's what I did. It was a personal challenge. I stayed out here in this driveway and I practiced about 5 minutes every day. My neighbors made fun of me. I had many wrecks, but after 8 months, this happened. One day I couldn't ride the bike and the next day I could. It was like I could feel some kind of pathway in my brain that was now unlocked. It was really weird though. It's like there's this trail in my brain, but if I wasn't paying close enough attention to it, my brain would easily lose that neural path and jump back onto the old road it was more familiar with. Any small distractions at all, like a cell phone ringing in my pocket, would instantly throw my brain back to the old control algorithm and I would wreck, but at least I could ride it. My son is the closest person to me genetically, and he's been riding a normal bike for 3 years. That's over half his life. I wanted to know how long it would take him to learn how to ride a backwards bike, so I told him if he learned how to ride a backwards bike, he could go with me to Australia and meet a real astronaut. Are you gonna give up?
No.
Go ahead. This is how it starts. Look at this. This is such a big deal. Get up, you got it. Did you see his brain get it? So he, in how many weeks have we been doing this? 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, he did something that took me 8 months to do, which demonstrates that a child has more neuroplasticity, am I even saying that right, than an adult. It's clear from this experiment that children have a much more plastic brain than adults. That's why the best time to learn a language is when you're a young child. All right, today's bike log. I can ride smooth, I can ride fast. I'm thinking the experiment is over.
Okay, now I'm in Amsterdam, a city that has more bicycles than people. The question is, can I ride a normal bike now? I mean, I've spent all this time unlearning how to ride a bike. If I go back and try to ride a normal one, will my brain mess up? So I've tweeted a Smarter Everyday meetup, if you will, and I'm gonna see if somebody brings a bicycle and I'm gonna try to ride a normal bike. It's backwards.
This was one of the most frustrating moments of my life. I had ridden a normal bike since I was 6, but in this moment, I couldn't do it anymore. I had set out to prove that I could free my brain from a cognitive bias. But at this point, I'm pretty sure that all I proved is that I could only redesignate that bias.
So what you're not seeing is just a group of people here looking at me, looking at the strange American that can't ride a bike because they think I'm dumb. But I'm actually 2 levels deep into this because I've learned and unlearned. All right.
After 20 minutes of making a fool out of myself, suddenly my brain clicked back into the old algorithm. I can't explain it, but it happened in a very specific moment.
I got it. I'm back. Yeah. Oh, it clicked. Hold on, it clicked. I got it. Okay, there it is. There was the moment. Good. Okay, I can ride a bike.
I tried to explain this to the people around me, and they just didn't get it. They thought I was faking the previous 20 minutes, and I couldn't get anybody to believe me.
That looked like I faked that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just a face.
You think I'm faking? You don't believe me.
This is so weird. You were like,
you think I'm lying, don't you? I'm not lying.
I felt like the only person on the planet who had ever unlearned how to ride a bike, and I couldn't articulate it to anyone because everybody just knew that you can't forget how to ride a bike. So I learned 3 things from this experiment. I learned that welders are often smarter than engineers. I learned that knowledge does not equal understanding. And I learned that truth is truth, no matter what I think about it. So be very careful how you interpret things, because you're looking at the world with a bias, whether you think you are or not. I'm Destin. You're getting smarter every day. Have a good one.
Okay, if you want to support Smarter Every Day, you can download a free audiobook at audible.com/...
What do you think? Makes you want to order a backwards bike and experience. Maybe we'll do that and experience it up here. How fun would that be? So I'm just going to share a verse or two with you, and then I just wanted to introduce. And I know I kind of rambled this morning, but I believe some significant things were shared and said. When we start the next week, the new year, we'll have a little more focus and where we're going, but. I want to talk to you about made new, and if you go ahead and bring up the next screen, I just want to share this scripture with you in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Paul says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and so I want you to think of the old life and the new life like the old life like maybe riding a bicycle, and the new life like riding a new a backwards bicycle. Are you with me? And in different areas of your life, and not just spiritually. Definitely spiritually. It could be kind of like I said, I used to think, spiritually speaking, and this really isn't my old life, but it's something that was added into my new life. I had this quid pro quo when it came to the blessings of God. I knew salvation was a free gift. I knew that there's nothing I could do to earn that. But for healing, I thought, well, I have to have this certain level of faith if I'm going to be healed. I got to give this much and really prove to God that I trust Him and give this much money to receive this much blessing in return. Come on, talk to me. Please tell me I'm not alone. Huh? And I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that being legalistic. And my heart was right. My heart was pure. But what happened is I ended up approaching that, okay, salvation and forgiveness was all grace, but every other blessing of God, I earned it. I never said that. I was never, quote, taught that. Specifically, that if you want God's blessings, you earn them. But you have these things like if you pray through, are you in the Word? Meaning, if you ain't, you know, things ain't happening, maybe you ain't reading your Bible enough. Quid pro quo. Is this making sense? And listen, let me I'm not saying that praying through, and I just talked about fasting and in the Word, I'm not saying that doesn't matter. Are you with me? I'm just saying those are tools, those are means to the end, and they don't add to grace. They're what enable us to get in position to receive, but they don't make the quarterback release what's in his hand. Does that make sense? But that's the way I approached healing, is how can I get God to heal me or heal this person? I need to be prayed up before I go to that hospital visit. And I'll never forget the first time that was shattered is I was going with someone and they turned it on. And instead of having praise and worship and getting in the Spirit, what does that mean? I knew what it meant in my thing. It just means you kind of are feeling spiritual, right? So you have praise and worship on the way to that hospital so you can tune in. And listen, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying there's anything. There are times I do that, but I remember the day came when I had the freedom. I'm riding with someone, and they were really free, and they're listening to Boston on the way to the hospital to pray for someone. And I thought, dear God, how's God going to move? We're listening to secular music. Surely that is going to quench the Spirit. But they're listening to More Than a Feeling. And I'm like, well, maybe that's the word I need to hear. Because it's by faith, it ain't by feelings. And I begin to realize, and so I begin to ride this new bike and this new way of thinking. And so now things begin to shift and things begin to change that, you know what? Whether it's salvation or healing or any other blessing in my life, all of God's blessing they have been released by God's grace and thrown my way. Every single one. He is not withholding healing, waiting until the faith meter reaches a level. Nope, not enough faith yet. Maybe if you read 10 more chapters. Could you not tarry 1 hour? Pray an hour every day for the next month, and we'll see. No, just like salvation, he didn't wait for me to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for me to care one iota about his grace and love. He lavished his love upon us for the cross. And if God freely gave us his son, how much more will he freely give us all things? Every blessing in Christ Jesus is no different than salvation. It's been, oh. You should have got up and moved a little bit. See, if you were fasting, you would have. Case in point, but isn't that how we feel? When it doesn't happen, then what do? What was wrong with my faith? Why didn't I get healed? Or why didn't I, when I laid hands on them in the hospital, it fell to the floor? How come they didn't get healed? Well, I know it's not in God's hand, so I must not have had enough faith. I must not have been spiritual enough. I knew I shouldn't have been listening to Boston on the way. Are you with me? So why don't instead, I may share some things with you, and they may feel like a new bike to ways you thought about grace. Amen? And listen, I'm not saying obedience doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's not quid pro quo. Obedience doesn't cause God to release what is in his hand. Grace causes him to release what's in his hand. Obedience just empowers me to be where I need to be. In case it's a short ball, I can catch it. I can receive it. Does that make sense? So we're going to talk about this in the days to come. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for all the things I just sense stirring. Father, not only in my heart, just in the hearts of your people. I just, Father, everyone here today, I just sense there's this expectation. There's this anticipation of this new level of peace. And Father, I just thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to your power that's at work within us. So Father, I pray that power would be unleashed and we would walk in a greater level of your peace than we ever have. That 2020, Father, that all of your plans and purposes would come to pass in our lives, the life of our church. We just commit it and dedicate it to you. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name.